I'm going to be reading out of the Old Testament this morning, Isaiah 6, 1 through 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt is departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears, and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away. And the vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." The first part of that, I'm sure, is very familiar to most people. Here I am, send me. And we're going to talk about discipleship this morning. And at some point in the future, we may do a series on discipleship. That was one of the recommendations of the folks that are trying to help us grow the church. One of the things in the second part of what I read that you'll notice is kind of where we're at today. God talking about how they hear but they don't understand, they see but they don't comprehend, and all those kinds of things. And we're seeing that in our society today. But discipleship is one of those things that we hope and pray turns things around. There's an old familiar cartoon about an elderly couple. They're out on a Sunday drive, and they are driving behind a young couple in a car that are cuddling up with each other and paying more attention to each other than they are driving. So the elderly wife turns and looks at her husband, and she says, "How come we don't do that anymore?" And her husband looked at his wife, and he says, "Well, I haven't moved." And that's exactly how God looks at what's happening today. People that will tell you, "Well, I am not as close to God as I used to be." Who moved? Wasn't God. He's still behind the wheel. He's still in control. We moved away from God. And that's a very relevant thing to look at in our society today. Christian faith is not so much a ritual as it is a relationship. It's a relationship that doesn't stand still. It's a relationship that grows with God. It's always moving forward. There is no such thing as lukewarmness. Jesus even tells the disciples, "If you are lukewarm in my mouth, I will spit you out." You've either got to be hot or cold. So we need to concentrate on where we are, who we are, and what we are supposed to be doing. You might remember the story of the man who owned the vineyard, had two sons, and he went to the first son and he said, "I want you to work in the vineyard today." This son was a little bit in a rebellious mood, so he said, "I will not. You knew I had plans for today and it ain't going to happen." So he goes to the second son, and he says, "I want you to work in the vineyard today." And the second son says, "You bet, Dad, I'll get right on it." But he never does seem to get around to going out and working. So Jesus asks, which son did the will of his father? And you have to realize that that first son that said no actually finally got around to going out and doing the work. Even though he was indignant about it, he protested about it, hollered, I will not go, he did finally get out there and do the work. Whereas the son that said, yep, I've got this, never seemed to get around to it. And Jesus wants us to see that it was the second son that was the difficult case. He wasn't indignant. He didn't protest. But he was a well-intentioned procrastinator. And we see that in society today among Christian people. We tell God, yep, we're here for you. We're going to do what you need us to do. And we don't ever seem to get around to it. We are procrastinators. Christian faith is about three stages of the journey. The first is discovery. The second is the decision. The third is discipleship. Too often we get the discovery part, we get the decision part, but we don't seem to get to the discipleship part. So let's talk about discovery. Discovery is that time when you became aware of the presence of God. You knew there was something there. In the verses we read this morning, it was the year King Uzziah died. Isaiah felt like the world was going to end. Terrible things were going to happen. He didn't know what to do. It's kind of like when John F. Kennedy was assassinated and we thought as a nation and as a world, what now? Or Teddy Roosevelt. Any number of those kinds of things that cause a traumatic change in our life. And that's why he looked at the Lord, Isaiah, and said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have beheld the Lord. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that the rest of the world were sinners, and he didn't feel like he was the right person to help God. God knew better. God doesn't necessarily pick those people that think they're ready to go. God qualifies the unqualified. God makes it happen. Just like with Isaiah, he touched his lips with the red coal and told him, your sins are forgiven. And at that point, Isaiah was ready to go. And he was willing to do whatever God told him needed to be done. Even to the point of going out and telling those people, you people are in trouble. You people are bad. You people are sinners. And God doesn't like it. For St. Paul, it was the blinding light on the Damascus Road. That was his time of discovery. He learned about Christ in a very short time, dramatically. For Simon Peter, it was a personal invitation, but he was another one of those that said, depart from me, for I'm a sinner, Lord. He didn't feel like he was qualified. And I can tell you for my experience and from a lot of the ministers that I have talked with, we have all been in that same position. We knew God was calling, and we looked at God and said, uh-uh, you don't want me. And I fought him for years. And I know you'll find a lot of ministers that did. I was talking to Derek Kane Friday, and he says, yep. He says, you're right. A lot of us have done that. We didn't feel good enough. But it's not about being good enough. It's about following God. J.C. Penney was a very successful merchant when he started Penney's because of one thing. A song sung by a choir that said, God will take care of you. And God will take care of you. He will make sure you have the tools to be an accountable disciple. For Southern Baptist leader Duke McCall, it came while driving his car on a rain-slicked highway. He had gone to college, and while he was in college, he kind of slipped away from going to church. But he admitted that there was something missing. He said, 2 years later, I graduated from college as the valedictorian. And I had plans on going to Vanderbilt Law School. And he was out driving in the East Tennessee mountains a few weeks after his graduation, and it was raining. The highway was slick. He says, I was driving too fast, and he didn't notice that the radio station he was listening to had switched from music to a mountain preacher. This mountain preacher was uneducated. He said he could not put two sentences together that were grammatically correct. He gasped for breath every phrase he said as he screamed into the microphone. But he was a man of God, and he was God's messenger. He was delivering God's message to me. Oh, God can hit with a mighty stick sometimes. And that's what happened to him. And he said, since then, his whole ministerial career has been committed to Baptist theological education of the highest quality because God uses men like Moses and Paul with the best educational equipment. But thank God for that ignorant, Bible-pounding, screaming mountain teacher preacher because he saved my life. He did it with four words. Why not try God? He said, I slammed on the brakes, skidded around on the highway, wound up on the shoulder of the road, flipped off the radio, bowed my head, and said, oh God, I am making a mess of my life without you. Please take it and do with it whatever you will. Why not try God? That was Duke McCall's day of discovery and his day of decision. He discovered the truth about Christ, even though he had gone to church as a youth. And he decided at that very moment that God wanted him to do his will. God wanted him to spread the gospel. Discovery, decision. Dr. Clovis Chapel once put it this way. He used horses as an analogy. He said, out west, they take horses, young colts, and they turn them loose out in the wild until they grow to a certain age. Then they go out and they capture them, bring them back into the corral. They throw a heavy saddle on them, and a cowboy mounts them, and they jump and buck until they're tamed. He said, but in Kentucky, we do it different. In Kentucky, thoroughbreds aren't broken. In the first place, when they're born, they're nurtured and cared for. After a certain amount of time, the trainer will put a bridle on them and let them get used to that. Then they'll put a lightweight blanket on them, let them get used to that. Then a lightweight saddle and let them get used to that. And eventually, the jockey. They don't buck. They don't jump. They don't need to be broken. They are already tamed because they've been nurtured and cared for. So what he's trying to get at is it doesn't matter whether you are broken into it or whether you are nurtured and cared for into becoming a Christian. Everybody gets it a different way. It's a natural process, the discovery and the decision. I had never noticed it before, but have you ever really looked at the famous painting by Holman Hunt of Christ standing at the door and knocking? You ever notice there's no handle on that door? I didn't either. What it boils down to is that door has to be opened from within. There must come a time of a conscious decision on your part, and out of that decision grows a life of discipleship. But you have to open the door Jesus is not going to knock it down and grab you. It's your decision. It comes from your heart giving it to God. Discovery, decision. Stephen Alford tells the story of a General Gordon, a British general, who served in China. General Gordon declined any kind of payment or title. All he asked for was a gold medal inscribed with the record of his 33 engagements. That became his most prized possession. But after his death, they couldn't find that medal. Eventually, it was learned that he had sent it to Manchester during a severe famine. When they found his diary, he said in his diary on the date that he sent it, "The last earthly thing I had in this world that I valued, I have given to the Lord Jesus Christ." That is the secret of a life lived close to God. He held nothing back. He gave it his all. That's discipleship, giving your all. Dr. Maxie Dunham, famous Methodist preacher, written a lot of books. He pastors a big Methodist church in Memphis, Tennessee. He was out driving one day, and he got in behind this car that had a bumper sticker on it. In the bumper sticker, in big letters, it says, "I am a generic Christian." He thought, that's strange. But he noticed underneath it had some small writing, which he couldn't quite read. So he got dangerously close to the back of this car so he could read what it said. And underneath that, it said, "Ask me what I mean." This kind of piqued his interest. "I am a generic Christian. Ask me what I mean." So he followed this guy for a little while. And they pulled into a car wash. So he pulled in behind him. And he's kind of surprised anyway that this guy would have a bumper sticker on this $65,000 Mercedes. But he went up to the car, the guy got out, and they started talking, and the man told him that he was a member of a local congregation. But he was so tired of the denominational emphasis in so many churches that he wanted to proclaim a different message. He wanted the world to know that he was a Christian, not tied to any label. A generic Christian. And Dr. Dunham says, well, he may have had a point. I wonder if we don't have too many generic Christians and not enough disciples. People that just come to church on Sunday, that aren't out there trying to make new disciples. And church growth is not about membership. And I know that sounds contrary to what you would think. Church membership is not about putting people in the pews. Churches need to stop thinking in terms of membership. Churches need to start thinking in terms of discipleship. Being a Christian is about discipleship. It's about bringing people to Christ. It's not about putting people in the pews. I tell people all the time, I don't care where you go to church, but you need to go to church. That's discipleship. That's bringing people to Christ. We need to see that discipleship has a cost. It requires giving our all to God. T.R. Glover says that the disciples in Jesus' day, they outloved, they outgave, and they outdied other devotees to other religions and cults. And that's what being a Christian is. But to me, it's worth the price, any cost. Jesus offered his disciples a paradox. He says, for those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The disciples, they obviously wanted him to establish a kingdom here on earth. But that wasn't the plan. And they didn't quite understand what he was getting at when he's talking about being suffering and dying and being risen. But Peter understood a little bit when he was resurrected, when Jesus was resurrected. he kind of finally got it. That it's about spreading the gospel. It's about living a life like Christ. It's the imitation of Christ. So where do you put yourself? You've got the discovery. You've got the decision. Have you gotten into that third phase of a discipleship where you're willing to talk to anybody about Christ? You're willing to invite anybody to come to Christ, and if they come to your church, great. If they go to another church, great. At least they found Christ, and that's what discipleship is about. If you closely read the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus intended for his followers to be action-oriented in the extreme. He wanted them to do his work, not just stay busy for the sake of being busy. We've seen churches that do that. They've got busy calendars, but they're not making disciples. Jesus didn't want us that way. Jesus wanted us to be active, wanted us to be disciple-making. He talks about a life built on a rock. Because he hears my words and does them. Faith without works is dead. We've all heard that from Matthew 2:17. Faith without works is dead. Christ calls us to be soldiers in an army for him, to spread the gospel. And if anybody needs the gospel, our society does today, desperately. Desperately needs the gospel. And that's why we come to church on Sunday and we listen to me up here, hopefully helping you understand more about God and his word. That's why we attend Bible study. That's why we pray, hopefully multiple times a day, so we can better understand how to talk to others. It's about availability. We have to be available to Christ. And the next thing is sensitivity. We have to be sensitive to the needs of others. St. Paul says, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. So we have to be available. We have to be sensitive to the needs of others. And finally, it's about accountability, like the book I mentioned, Accountable Discipleship. Daniel Webster says, the most important thought I ever had was that of my individual responsibility to God. The word that we are hearing today is accountability. Whether it's TV evangelists, officials in Washington, or us as disciples, it's about accountability. We are not our own. We are his. We are here to do his work. We are to be available, sensitive, and accountable. We are to get to that point in our journey of discipleship. We are supposed to inspire one another to spread the gospel. And that's how we grow our church. Not trying to fix the church, but trying to get people to come to Christ. Amen.